to Final Fights, brought to you by Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who has a guitar lick play every time that he walks inside of a room. It's Adam Hodgins.
And I'm playing that lick. I know I can't do it. I just walk in with a guitar and I play it.
You know? So you have one of those small amps wrapped around you too? Amp,
yeah,
in the back?
100%.
Oh my gosh. Because this fight, it's a little less than 2 minutes. It's the final fight between King Orm and Aquaman. And Aquaman, when it starts, so if you go online and watch it, when this fight starts, when it kicks off, there's a guitar lick.
Yeah, as there should be.
And it's just, that's what I love about this film. Anytime Aquaman does something amazing, it just goes, it's so winky that if you were a cynic, it would make you sick. But if you're just happy watching the chaos unfold in front of you, it's a lot of fun.
If you've made it through Aquaman to the final fight, then you're in with the guitar riff bit by now.
No, I'm going to ask you a question here.
And Mark, I love it.
I want an honest answer from you, okay? Not that you're a dishonest person.
I tell the truth professionally.
Yes. And so, you know when people say, I'm not going to lie? It's like, you know, I'm not going to lie. I love this raspberry square from the Lighthouse
Cafe.
You're thinking, why would you lie about that?
Yeah, that's inconsequential.
Now, I don't want you to lie, but how strong is Orm's helmet in this final fight?
I think it's as strong. It's 10% stronger than Steppenwolf's axe from Justice League.
Right? Because it gets hit by a propeller made of
some kind of
Atlantean steel.
Right?
Because Atlantean steel can kill Aquaman.
Right.
And it whaps off his helmet, and there's no concussion. There's no, he doesn't shake his head, which would be really weird during this fight. Who made this helmet? Because I think on my side.
I think what happened was, the Justice League took Steppenwolf's helmet as a souvenir at the end of that movie. Right?
Yeah.
So I think Aquaman took the remnants of the broken axe that Superman smashed to Atlantis as a souvenir to say, here's proof we beat him. And I think Orm melted that down and made himself a helmet out of it.
Do you think that octopus made it for him?
The drumming octopus?
Yeah.
100%. That's the only guy who can work the forge with the 8 arms.
He would have been perfect in Avengers Infinity War.
Just the octopus comes out of nowhere, just takes all the gems.
Mine.
With two hands to spare.
I'm a little worried about something watching this fight. Do you think this movie's a massive blockbuster with some of the most widespread action scenes you'll ever see in your life? But this final fight feels very anti.
Very small.
Yes.
Very small.
Do you think everyone was just tired?
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's like we put this seed in earlier where you got to do the spinny.
Oh, man.
The spinny trident gimmick. And so that's going to be the climax of this fight. And they realize, yeah, but every 12-year-old girl in gymnastics can do that.
Yeah, any baton twirler.
So we can't, right, so we can't do that. We can't do anything better than that in the fight if that's going to be the apex. So we kind of have to keep this fight pretty simple.
Aquaman basically became those guys with the signs who flip them around really coolly.
Yeah.
Trying to get you to go to a place that has 50% clearance.
Right. And here's the thing, though. Orm knows all about Atlanta. He knows that this is like the move. Wouldn't you try and spend your time thinking of a defense for it?
Yeah, that's what sort of threw me off. And I guess with this fight, it starts off with... So I just want to talk about the basics, and then I'll answer your question. So it starts off with Aquaman being thrown. And then Orm gets thrown. And then Aquaman gets thrown. And then Aquaman gets hit and thrown towards a propeller. And then he does the trident spinning. And Orm jumps right into it.
Right.
And then
he has no idea.
Runs at a straight line at him again and gets hit by it. And you're just thinking to yourself, does he... Because he was winning this fight. I broke down the strikes in this film. So Orm, he landed a very nice kick, and then he whapped Aquaman in the chest. So if that went to a decision at this point, Orm would have won. So Orm is this very good fighter. I mean, he is the man in the ocean. He's the baddest dude in the ocean.
Right.
And it's just kind of... But I have this issue with a lot of films, and we'll talk about them eventually. Karate Kid with the pose, and Bloodsport, and Kickboxer, the villains... completely fall apart. In Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme is blinded, and the main villain just stands there watching him. And so maybe...
So I buy that because I feel like in Bloodsport, the villain is overconfident. He's like, I've blinded him. I can, because he's proven he likes to toy with people. And so he's like, okay, he was a formidable opponent, but now I've blinded him. It's over. And I think so. But so I buy that one. I don't buy The Karate Kid. As much as I love that movie, love those movies, love Cobra Kai season 1 and 2. Have you watched that yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, dude, you gotta watch Cobra Kai. It is so good. Anybody who likes those Karate Kid movies of our ilk, it's like the perfect TV show. Anyways, that being said, I don't buy the Korean technique was a deadly move, nor was it like undefendable. I don't buy that. So the villains really kind of fall apart there.
And then this one, do you think Orm just is used to being a Chong Li was, I can't believe we forgot Chong Li, the name, but they had, do you think Orm's used to being the bully? So in this one, he gets the upper hand. He throws that hunk of metal off of the boat, which is kind of jerky because who's going to fix that? And can the boat operate with that hunk of metal gone?
I think what this movie proved to me was that there's a lot of excess material used in sea-bearing vessels.
So it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Okay, so he must know that, so that boat's fine. But you know what the best part of this fight is? I don't want to be down on it. In the beginning, I love that Orn, P-Dubs, as we call him, Patrick Wilson, has a hero landing. So he lands and just looks awesome when he lands, and then Aquaman rolls. I like at least that Jason Momoa allowed himself to not have the cool landing.
Right.
So but he now, gave the cool landing to P-Dubs.
When he jumped out of the ocean, though, when Aquaman jumps out of the ocean into the sun, in the theater, my daughter says, Dad, I want that poster.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I love that my daughter, first off, loves this movie. Secondly, understands, like, see that shot right there? That's strictly there for promotional material. Yeah,
that's a trailer moment.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so I was watching this fight, and Megan was – she came in. To watch some of it. And when they do their poses before the fight, she went, why are they doing that? That does not look tactical. How do you feel about their beginning poses that Aquaman and Orm do? Are you for them? Are you against them? What do you feel about that?
As you know, I'm a comic book fan, and I feel like that was a page from a comic book itself.
Oh, where it's okay.
We're gonna draw our guys getting ready for battle. So they have these epic like splash pages before they get into battle. And I feel like that was the director doing. Here's your comic book page. Here's your comic book page, and now fight.
Because this was a hyper stylized fight, and this fight was unlike anything we had seen prior in this movie. So we had the very bright Italian destruction. We had the darkness of the trench. We had the underwater kind of blitzkrieg of Orm and Aquaman's first fight. So this one was under, it was above the surface on a ship, and it's in an overcast sky with some light coming through. And he really, this is the closest to Snyder, a Zack Snyder scene that James Wan came with Aquaman, would you say?
Right, 100%.
Slow motion, super stylized. And it's maybe they just wanted it to look differently from the rest of the film. And now, I have another question. Who would be better at curling, Aquaman or Orm? Because in this scene...
Like the sport of curling?
The sport of curling. Because in this scene, they are pushing each other.
You know,
what's up?
You know I was on the high school curling team.
Oh my God. So what did you think about Aquaman's form as he was running Orm along the ground? So there's a scene where Aquaman is on his feet and he has his trident pointing down. Orm is on his back and his trident is up. And Aquaman's trident connects with the middle part of Orm's and he pushes him against the ship.
Right.
Do you think Aquaman would have patience for curling or would Orm be better?
No, Orm would be the worst curler ever. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Let me tell you why. So first off, this battle happens on the ship because Aquaman knows he can't defeat Orm in the water. His advantage is that he understands that the physics of being out of the water and in the water, whereas Orm only knows how to fight inside the water.
Wow.
Friction is something that Orm doesn't really have a huge understanding of. And that's something that only that's the game changer in curling is you need to understand how fast your ice is when you start. And then as the game progresses, the ice speed changes because you're melting, you're sweeping, the bead on top, the beading of the is changing. It's you have to have a working understanding of ice, of friction, and of the physical world around us. It's a huge deal. Orm has none of that, and that's why he lost his fight.
Wow.
We understand that Aquaman would lose a fight in the ocean. We saw it happen. Mm-hmm. So Aquaman wouldn't be a great curler because of his aggression, but he would have the concept and physics to make it to get there.
You know who would be good is Mira, because she could just manipulate everything on the ground. She could just walk next to it and guide it.
I would say that she would be disqualified from the Briar or the Tournament of Hearts.
What if she dressed normally and manipulated it without people knowing? Because that could maybe happen, correct?
Yeah, you'd get a Lilyhammer situation. But
could you find gratification in that? If you just, you're a superhero and you're cheating and curling, would you go home happy at night?
I think that anybody who would cheat at curling, if they won, they'd go home happy. They're in it to win it at that point in time, winner take all. I don't think a moral person would find joy in that, but I think if you're at that point, I could get there behind.
But you know what? According to John Candy in Cool Runnings, if you're not enough without it, then you're not enough with it.
Yeah, I'll say this though. I think that I think that Mira would never do that.
All right. So at the end, he gets the great trident and he bashes Orm's trident.
Yeah.
Did Orm get his power from his trident?
No, but it's like Dominic Toretto is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
But Dominic Toretto in the driver's seat of a 1970 Dodge Charger is a whole different thing. So he's just taking away his charger.
Wow. You know, he crashed his charger driving into Jason Statham in Furious 7 because I don't understand that scene.
Can we make a rule that we never talk negatively about anything that's Fast or Furious?
Our podcast about those movies are going to be the most fanboyish ever.
I'm okay with it.
So
unobliterated fanboyish.
How happy would you be if you were Willem Dafoe's character? And you taught young Aquaman how to spin a trident. And in the end, he wins the entire ocean. He's the ocean master by spinning his trident. You're a mentor. How would you feel?
I think I would feel as happy as Willem Dafoe looks in that scene. If you look, Amber Heard, Willem Dafoe, and Dolph Lundgren all like just couldn't be happier with their, like, he did it. He did it.
Yeah. And then remember, Willem Dafoe goes, look. Like, he's doing it. He's doing the spin of Dafoe.
Yeah, it was very much a Mr. Miyagi moment.
How tired could you get spinning that?
So I think it's one of these things where if you don't know what you're doing, it's exhausting. If you do it right, it's no problem at all.
What happens if he had a slight misstep? Let's say he stepped into that hole that Orm pulled the metal from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a little off balance and his trident goes flying. How far would that trident go?
I think it would go right into a bystander's body.
Like a couple hundred yards away? Would it fly into the sun? Like, would it land in Ohio?
Yeah, no, it would go right to Wayne Tower.
And get Batman?
Yeah, well, Batman would catch it because it's Batman.
Oh, got it. But just imagine you're at lunch and you've got a group of people, you know, some friends from high school you haven't seen in years. And you're eating delicious sandwiches at this place that you got a reservation to. The best sandwiches in Canada, and a trident flies through the window and just spears one of them. What would your first thought be, that Aquaman accidentally messed up his spinny thing? Like, what would you think?
Yeah, I think so, because you're aware that there's something going on because of all the news footage.
Yeah, oh, okay. And you've heard of Aquaman, so you'd deduce.
Right.
Right. And you know what I do like? I was watching the training of these films, and Patrick Wilson and Jason Momoa took their training very seriously for these fights.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, watching them battle, they were doing this thing about how much they worked out. And P-Dubs got pretty beefy for this role. Standing next to Momoa, he's not much smaller. They're almost, like, he's not as tall, but he was big. Did you notice the size discrepancy between these two, or do you think they were fairly evenly matched?
No, I think that Momoa was bigger, but I think P-Dubs went from being a relatable leading man to being, like a formidable leading man. You know what I mean? Like, he's always been, even as Night Owl, he was like the out of shape, like every man getting back into his suit. Whereas in this movie, I felt like he was actually had some stature to him.
Yeah, and they don't really show that off that much in this film.
No, because it's so fun to watch the armor and the underwater.
Yeah.
And like that's what happened, right? It was that. And anybody who went for eye candy, like, Momoa was enough.
Yeah, people love – there's so many gifs of Momoa running around shirtless.
Absolutely.
Now, P-Dubs, I don't know if you watched that movie, In the Tall Grass. I think to make up for Aquaman, he put himself in the tightest shirt possible that it looks like he's about to explode out of.
Mm-hmm.
So he's I did all this training, so I'm going to do it.
I think it was like Keanu Reeves in the first Matrix, where it became like a bragging right for actors to be like – look at this regiment I'm going through to get ready for this movie so I can do that. Like, before that, it was like, yeah, you know, I'll do my bit, and then the stuntman's going to step in and do his bit, and then, you know. But mm-hmm. I think it was Keanu Reeves in The Matrix when they were like, when the Wachowskis would be like, you have no idea how much training this guy's going through to pull off these things himself. And then it became like bragging rights a little bit.
He's the best, isn't he?
He is.
Now, you're King Orm. You're defeated. Your trident is busted. You've lost to your brother. And you are just responsible for about 200,000 deaths mm-hmm. and trillions of damage on Earth. He doesn't die in this movie. He gets put in bad guy prison. Mm-hmm. How are you going to be able to talk to Atlantans from now on? Because you're obviously going to get out of prison and become a good guy. So
no way. He's full out. Like Catamina Cristo planning his revenge, 100%.
Even after seeing his mom, you think that he's still going to be up to bad shenanigans?
I think it's making him angrier. She was alive the whole time.
Wow. And Aquaman knew it, right?
Because the problem with comic book movies up until recently, Mark, is that they would always kill the villain. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man killed Green Goblin. X-Men, you know, killed Toad. And then like Daredevil killed the Kingpin. And so it was always like just killing these villains. So they could never come back. But in the comic books themselves, it was always like Spider-Man's greatest villain or Superman's greatest villain is, you know, General Zod. And so then there's a continuous fight all the time. He's here, he's back. He's here, he's back. So Orm isn't, his story isn't, I was a bad guy, now I'm a good guy. His story is, I'm Aquaman's greatest villain and I'm going to be back. Black Manta, greatest villain, and I'm going to be back.
Wow. So you think he's kind of like a scarecrow in the latest Dark Knight, where he just keeps popping up and he's a pain in the butt? Or do you think he's worse than that?
No, I think he's worse than that. I think his role is going to be manipulating other villains to do his bidding from prison.
You don't want P-Dubs just riding a shark alongside Aquaman tearing up the world?
What I want is irrelevant to what's going to happen.
Fair enough. Now, I had one more thing. Oh, what was it going to... I had one more thing about the fight. Aquaman is the ocean master now, and he is the king.
Hmm.
How is he going to explain busting through the Earth's core and killing about 100,000 people to the people he leads? Or do you think they'll disrespect his strength and all is good?
I think that they were there for it, that they saw what was going on. It was very much like a situation where it's like either you could all die if I left him in charge, or we had to do what we do to get rid of the evil. Like, he had to be stopped. It wasn't my doing, but this is what was necessary to have happen.
Fair enough. And then one final thing about this fight. If you go on YouTube and you type in Orm Aquaman final fight, it's the last clip, second to last clip, maybe last clip from Fandango on YouTube. In the beginning of the clip, all of the people come to the surface to watch the fight. Dolph Lundgren takes off his helmet and does a hair flip.
Mm-hmm.
What's better, the hair flip or the fight?
Hair flip, 100%.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me on this one, man.
No worries.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer. Yeah, it was good. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Adam Hodgins, this is Final Fights. We'll see you next week.